Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text 14. Krishna speaking about his own work here. And he says, there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. Comment. Conditioned souls bound by their independent desires for pleasure try to act based on those desires. Their attempts cause the modes of material nature to react, which results in activities and its reactions. Krishna's own actions are different. Krishna engages in many activities, but while acting, he is materially aloof and materially desireless because his activities are within the internal energy and are free from the modes of material nature. Because his work is materially desireless, no reactions attach themselves to his work. As both he and his devotees are transcendental to material control, neither falls within the Varnashrama system, despite their willingly following the strictures of prescribed duties. As will be stated in the next verse, when the jiva understands these facts about Krishna, applies this transcendental knowledge to his own work, and becomes a servant of Krishna, he also becomes aloof from the material whirlpool of action and reaction. Text 15. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Comment. Krishna has no attachment to the fruits of his work. Knowing this, Arjuna should fight with faith for Krishna's pleasure if he desires to become liberated. Krishna wants Arjuna to fight in knowledge of Krishna's position and as an offering to him. In this way, Arjuna should follow the example of previous great devotees. In the next nine verses, 16 to 24, in pursuance of Krishna's description of his own work, Krishna will explain how work, karma, can be seen as inactivity, a karma. Arjuna previously said he wished to leave the battlefield and avoid the result of his karma, like a jnani, through inactivity. Krishna will show him that no reactions accrue to one who works in transcendental knowledge, and that properly performed karma can thus be seen as none different from the process of jnana. Text 16. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. Comment. In the next verse, Krishna adds the principle of vikarma, or forbidden action, to his presentation of karma and akarma. 17. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Quote, karma refers to activities done according to Vedic injunction. Such activities are generally referred to as karmakanda. Owing to the performer's material desires, karmakanda yields reactions, albeit good ones. Quote, vikarma means activities prohibited in the Vedas. Such prohibited actions produce bad reactions. Quote, akarma refers to work performed for Krishna's pleasure. Such work brings no material reaction, good or bad. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada classifies vikarma and karma together under the category of vikarma. He classifies vikarma and karma together under the category of vikarma. Srila Prabhupada's purport. To understand Krishna consciousness and action according to its modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. In other words, one who has learned perfectly knows that everything, every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord, and that consequently, one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. Any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attendant actions are vikarma, or prohibited actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with authorities in Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most intelligent persons will be bewildered. Comment continues. Having introduced the term vikarma, Krishna returns to the distinction between karma and akarma. 18. One who sees inaction within action and action within inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Quote, inaction within action, end quote, refers to devotional service or activities performed only for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna's servants receive no material reactions for their service because they act as Krishna acts without contamination of seeking a reward for their work. Quote, action within inaction is the opposite. A sannyasi without transcendental knowledge of Krishna may appear not to be performing work, but as a soul, he cannot avoid either activity or the entangling results of that activity. Devoid of transcendental knowledge about Krishna, he must act, but he cannot act in Krishna's service, for he has no knowledge of Krishna. He is thus liable to all reactions. For example, the sannyasi must breathe. He also must eat. He steps on living entities as he walks. All these activities have no transcendental basis for him, and thus reactions accrued to him. Every soul is unavoidably active. Artificial attempts to inactivity lead to a further danger, that of unengaged senses coupled with an impure mind. Anyone who attempts spiritual practices while the mind meditates on sense enjoyment will fall down, even if such unfortunate, quote, renunciants appear to be less involved in the world than a devotee. Krishna further explains this in verse, this explains this verse in text 19. And we shall end here. And Krishna willing, we shall continue soon. Hare Krishna.